Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 116. In verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? That is a loaded question. Young people, have you ever noticed, maybe you haven't yet, but eventually you will, especially the more you face trials, you'll notice this more and more, that God loads you with benefits. Now, in your everyday life, you may not necessarily realize this is going on. And then something happens that wakes you up to it. One of the most common things is people are driving along and there was a close call and they realize, wow, God took care of me. But God is constantly taking care of you. You may not realize it, but God is constantly taking care of you. As a matter of fact, there's an angel assigned to you to help God take care of you, to provide your needs. Right now in this room, every individual has at least minimum one angel if you're born again. And I think everybody here is. And so every single person here has at least minimum, sometimes more depending on the need, one angel. So there's actually twice as many individuals in this room at least as appear to be. Because your angels are here as well. God is constantly loading you with benefits. God is constantly taking care of you. God is constantly providing for you. God is constantly helping you. It happens all the time. And it happens so much that we even stop noticing it after a while. Because to us, it just seems normal. But if God took that away, all of a sudden, your life would be a bear. Why? Because, among other reasons, there is an enemy that you have that is operating in this world, and you are one of his targets because he is your enemy. And then the second reason, because you have an old sin nature, and that's not doing you any favors either. If God stopped helping you even for a moment, life would be extremely difficult for you. But God is constantly taking care of you. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you to guide you, to help you, to encourage you, to comfort you, to give you wisdom. And He's constantly working on you. You have complete attention from God. Every believer does. It's amazing that God has the ability to do that, but He has much more ability than just that. So here is this God who created everything simply by speaking it into being. That's how powerful His word is. Don't ever underestimate prayer. But that's how powerful His word is. He speaks it into being, and that's the God who's taking care of you. And that's what David was seeing here. David was extremely well taken care of by God. Now, David was an extremely faulty person. If you could blow it, David did. If there's any mistake that could be made, David figured out how to make that mistake. If there's a sin to be had, David had gotten into it. This guy was a train wreck. But he was a train wreck with a heart after God. Yeah, he had weaknesses. He had problems with his old sin nature. Yeah, he had made some terrible decisions here and there. But man, did this guy ever love God. And one of the reasons why he loved God is because God was so kind to him. God's extremely kind. Don't ever underestimate that either. The kindness of God is beyond description. It's something that is kindness of a divine nature. It's kindness of God. In other words, God is so much bigger than we can understand. We can't understand His kindness either. We can just receive it. And God said in Ephesians 2:7 that you will be receiving His kindness for all of eternity. It's never going to stop with God. The kindness is always going to be poured out to you. And David's reflecting on this, and of all people, David, because he is such a train wreck as an individual, this guy is thinking to himself, I'm such a train wreck, and God is so kind to me. What am I going to give Him back? What am I going to do to return some of what He's given me, to repay that? What am I going to do to show that I really appreciate when He's taking care of me, what He's doing for me? What am I going to do? God wants one thing from you. Sometimes we think, well, God doesn't want anything from us. Grace is unconditional. Salvation is unconditional. God wants nothing from you. That's not entirely true. Yes, grace is unconditional. Yes, salvation is unconditional. But God does want something from you. He wants one thing and one thing only from you. He says in Proverbs 23:26, my son, this could include a daughter. It's just the way they spoke in those days. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. God wants one thing from you. He wants your heart. And He wants your perception to be filled with His ways. Eyes speaks of perception. So when something happens, He wants you to see Him in it. But the only way that you will see Him in it is if you give Him your heart, your frame of reference. Now, Ecclesiastes 3:11 gives us tremendous benefits from seeing things through His perspective, because only then can you understand what God is doing. Because He'll put His mind, His eternal viewpoint into your frame of reference. That's what it means when it says there that He puts eternity in your heart. He puts His eternal viewpoint into your frame of reference. And then you start to understand what God is doing from beginning to the end. Sometimes we get into these situations and we just don't get them. Like, God, why are you allowing this? But when you have eternity in your frame of reference, you might not know the specifics of the answer to that question, but you do know that it's God who's got the purpose, and that purpose is on your behalf. That purpose is for your benefit. That comes with an eternal frame of reference. You also realize that you are a part of a large plan, and the part that you have is extremely important to the plan working out. So God is very careful about the things that He brings into your life in His plan. So what will I render God? What will I give to God for all the amazing benefits He gives me? I'll give Him my heart, and in my perceptions, I will see His ways. Folks, you want to be happy in life? That's the way to do it. I've never met somebody, and I've taught for a long time, and I ask young people all kinds of different questions. I get to know them pretty well. I've never had a young person tell me, I want to be miserable in my life. I want to be depressed. I want to be upset. I want to be somebody who lives in constant paranoia or insecurity or anxiety. I want to be somebody who never sees anything good. Never had anybody say that. I did have a kid answer me one time, and he used to, when I took roll, when I was teaching, I would take roll, and I wouldn't just say here. I hated when they just said here. I said, tell me something about yourself, and then I would ask specific questions. And one time I asked, what's your number one desire? And this one kid says, I want to be abducted by aliens. I've never heard anybody say, I want to be miserable. Okay, if you don't want to be miserable, give God your heart. That's the only way to not be miserable. Why? Because there's no place else that's safe or good or even true to put your heart. You put your heart in yourself, you put your heart into the world, you put your heart into your circumstances, you put your heart even into your relationships or your job, you're not going to be happy. Because those things are not created to fulfill. But God says in Ephesians 3:20, I go above and beyond all you can ask or think. In Jeremiah 29:11, He says, I know my thoughts, the thoughts that I have toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. The world doesn't say that. People cannot say that. Circumstances will never say that. A job has no ability in that direction. But God does. And He doesn't only has the ability, He has the desire. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you everything that your heart desires, so long as your heart desires Him first. He said in Matthew 6, at the end of the chapter, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be given unto you. All of these things that you might desire, all the things that you might need, all the things that you might be looking for, they'll be given to you if you seek first the kingdom of God. So what will I give to God for all the wonderful things He's given me? My son, give me your heart. That's His answer. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. Now, when God has my heart, things change. One of my favorite parts of the Bible, I'm always so blessed and amazed whenever I read this passage, is in Isaiah 6:8. God said, who will go for us? And that meant the Trinity. Who will go for us? Who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. That was Isaiah's heart. Who will go for us? Here I am, send me. Now, the average person nowadays, who will go for us, would not say, here I am, send me. What would they say? Where am I going? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do when I get there? How will I get there? Who's going to pay for this? Am I going to make money there? Who's going to take care of me? Where am I going to stay? Who am I going with? What am I going to eat? Is it even safe to eat? 50 questions. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Why could Isaiah say, here I am, send me? Because God had his heart. Just prior to that, in verse 5, he said, I'm a man undone. And then the angel touched his lips and iniquity departed from him. Interesting that the angel took a coal, touched his lips, and that's where iniquity departed from him. It was in his lips. That's a whole nother message altogether. And then, when God had his heart instead of self having his heart, things started to change for him. Who's going to go for us? Isaiah doesn't care what the details are. Isaiah doesn't care who's going with him. Isaiah doesn't care how he's going to get there. Isaiah doesn't care who's going to pay for this. How much is he going to make? What's he going to eat? Where's he going to stay? What's he going to do? Isaiah doesn't care. The only concern that Isaiah had is, who's going to go for us? Isaiah said, I will. You're in it, God, I'll go. You're going somewhere, I'm going with you. Who's going to go for us? I'm going to go, God. Send me, I want to go. Whatever it is that you're doing, God, I want to be there. That's Isaiah's attitude. Why? Because now God has his heart. Now, we're kind of weird. We have this religious mindset sometimes, and it's complete deception. We think, when we respond to God, that He's going to hurt us somehow. That He's going to bring some form of hardship. There's a lot of people who think that way. The reason why they think that way is because they either don't know Him, or they have very strange concepts that are religious often, in which case they don't know Him. God is not out to hurt you. The devil is. That's why the safest place in the universe is the perfect will of God. Because God is not out to hurt you, the devil is. God is out to protect you, the devil is not. When I give God my heart, I'm entering into profound protection. I'm entering into profound provision. You have a need, God will take care of it. And I'm not talking about spiritual things only. I'm talking about practical, everyday, touch-it kind of needs. You need money? God can take care of that. You need food? God can take care of that. You need clothing? God can take care of that. You need something else? God will take care of that. He takes care of literally all of your needs. Literally. You need a car? God can take care of that. God will take care of all of your needs. He always does. People will say, well, I don't know if God will take care of this. I mean, this is big. It's expensive. It's hard to get, whatever. God spoke the universe into being. Tell me what's big and what's expensive and what's hard to get. Everything that exists belongs to Him. So if it's money, it belongs to Him. If it's a car, it belongs to Him. If it's houses, it belongs to Him. Everything that exists belongs to Him. Well, you have these guys who built this house, and God's the one who made the tree that they built the house from. Or the dirt, which produced the concrete, which produced the structure. I love that joke. A scientist who's an evolutionist says to God, God, I can do what you can do. I can make something alive. I can make a living person. And God says, oh, you can you? Show me. And so the guy takes a bunch of dirt and he puts it together. And God says, use your own dirt. No matter what it is, it belongs to Him. If it belongs to Him, He'll give it to you. But you give Him your heart. You see, this is part of the benefits that you receive. If it belongs to Him, He'll give it to you. Never worry about Jesus or what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. God takes care of the lilies. I mean, have you ever really looked at a lily? A lot of flowers. They're pretty spectacular. And if you look at them from a biological point of view, they're pretty incredible. God took care of them. He'll take care of you. If God is concerned enough to make a rose beautiful, He's concerned about you too. And so you don't have to worry about those things. You can say, God, send me wherever it is, because no matter where it is, if it's God, you're taken care of. As a matter of fact, if you respond to Him that way, that's where you guarantee that you're taken care of. In 1 Corinthians 9:7, now this passage is not usually used in this context, but it's still true. The application still is there. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, can you imagine somebody is asked to do something? You ask somebody to do something. You're a mom. And you say to your kids, can you wash the dishes? And they say, oh, Mom, all right, fine. If I have to wash the dishes, I'll wash the dishes. Well, there's a joy. You're such a delightful child. I'm so glad that I spent 9 months of pregnancy and then childbirth. That was a joy. And I'm so glad that I had you, precious little thing, light of my heart, who gives me a headache every 2 hours. What joy is there in that? God loves somebody who responds to Him with joy. Who's going to go for me? I'm going to go. Me, God, I'm going to go. God loves that. God, do I have to? Well, let me think. I made you out of dirt. I breathe the breath of life in you. I hold your atoms together. I take care of all your needs. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even be breathing. Yeah, I think you should. Dummy. It's pretty simple with God. Give Him your heart. He's given you everything. Give Him your heart. And do it with joy, because that's where joy is found anyway. In Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Give Him your heart. You're in the presence of God. That's where you'll find fullness of joy. Well, this is what I want, and this is what people say, and this is who I'm looking for, and this is the kind of thing I'd like to see happen, and this is the preference that I have, and this is what I think would make me happy in my old sin nature, and this is what I need. And God's listening to you like, you have no idea what you're talking about. You done yet? Feel better now? Okay, let's get real. The reality of the matter is that God loads you with benefits. Every moment of the day, you're loaded with benefits. This particular second, you have a countless number of benefits on your account. Give Him your heart. And that's where you'll find some joy also. In verse 13, David answered his own question. What will I render God? I'll drink the cup of salvation. Salvation is not just being saved. It is included. Yes, that is included. But it's not the extent of it. That's just where it starts. Salvation is being saved and everything else that follows. In the Greek, now this is Hebrew, but it's a similar meaning. The word there is sozo, and it means deliverance of all forms. Deliverance from need, deliverance from want, deliverance from loneliness, deliverance from anxiety, deliverance from depression, deliverance from self-orientation, deliverance from pride, deliverance from self-centeredness, deliverance from negativity, deliverance from misery. Not so bad. I will take the cup of salvation and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And God says, that's because you've given me your heart. You see, if I'm to receive all that, I have to give Him my heart. But giving God your heart is the biggest favor you could do yourself. It's not that you lose with God. You lose with the devil. You lose with self. You lose with the world. Oh, but I could make $1 million. Oh, but that's a little bit of pavement. Nobody says to themselves, I'm going to work all my life so I can make a hunk of concrete. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I'm going to work all this time, spend all this time really going at it, really working hard, really sweat of the brow kind of thing. I'm going to devote my entire life so I can have 2,000 pounds of concrete. You know, there's a lot of billionaires out there. I'm not at all against them. If you have the wherewithal to become a billionaire, more power to you. But all that means with God is you have a whole lot of concrete. In heaven, the streets are made of gold. So when you're telling me that, well, in the world I can make all this money, you're telling me, in the world, I can make a ton of pavement. And after all, I want all the pavement I can get. What do you want, a long driveway?
In heaven, I want a mansion with a really, really long driveway.
Or maybe that's what you want on earth. Because if that's your focus on earth, what's your focus in heaven? God can give you billions. If you need them. But the fact of the matter is, every born-again believer already has them. You may look at your bank account and it doesn't say billions. But if you need them, you'll have them. It's like being the kid of a really, really, really rich dad. Your bank account isn't where it is, but his is. God has all things. He can certainly provide for you. And if the dad loves you, and God does, then if you need billions, He'll give you billions. If you need 100, He'll give you 100. If you need 50 cents, He'll give you 50 cents. He'll give you according to your need, but whatever the need is, you'll have it. And it doesn't matter how great or small. Whatever the need is, you'll have it. Some people strive for pavement like it's going out of style. Don't worry about pavement. Just give them your heart, and you'll have everything you need. And not only that, you'll have joy and peace and contentment and all the other wonderful stuff that God has to offer you. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."